Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Our reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him, they were terrified and thought that they had seen a spirit. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Amen.
Take this opportunity just to pray for Andy before he brings God's word to us. But also, just bear in mind those who aren't able to be with us this morning, please continue to pray for Frank. Just chatting to Mercy earlier as we were going around trying to get the dubious link of water. Continue to pray for Frank. He just really needs to get his strength back now so he can then really, really continue to recover and then get up and out and start moving around. So continue to pray for Frank. It's a blessing to see Derek Simpson with us today. Derek was telling me before the service, this is his 76th year at Bethel, which is amazing. It's really great to see Derek. But I know that there's others of you, who I won't mention by name because they'll all kill me, who've also been at Bethel for a long time. We're blessed with so many servants of God that have been here for a long time. And I think it'd be great if at some point in the future, we could celebrate that as a church family, those who've been here and really have built the foundations of where we're literally physically where we stood today. Barry's got a big smile on his face. So that I think just going forwards, that'd be great. It's really good to see Derek being able to be out with us. Pray that it doesn't rain because he gets wet if he goes home and it rains. So I want you to pray and ask our blessing upon this time and pray for my brother Andy as well. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for all that you're doing amongst us. I'm going to bring Frank before you this morning, Lord, as he's been in hospital almost continually since Christmas, Lord. Father, I just do pray you would just put your hand upon him, that you would give him his strength back, that he would just build up his strength, Lord, and would be able to continue to recover. Father, we thank you for Mercy who's here with us this morning, Lord. We thank you for how it's such an encouragement, how much of an encouragement she is to each and every one of us, Lord. Father, I just do pray for the whole family, Lord, that you would continue just to bind them together around you. Father, we thank you that Derek is able to join us here this morning, Lord. We thank you for all those years of faithful, faithful service. And for many others in this room, too, who have been here for so long, Lord, and have built the foundations of this church and physically the foundations of where we stand today, Lord. Father, I want to pray for my brother Andy, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just anoint him in a special way this morning, Lord. That you would use him in a way just to speak to us exactly what our hearts need to hear this morning. Lord, I pray that we would have be open vessels to be filled with you today, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just pour yourself out in a special way upon this place today. Father, bless us this morning, Lord, we ask. In a real and tangible way, we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a real privilege, Ben, to come and speak to you today. I've been getting to know you for a little while since I've been attending here. It's not something I do very often these days, actually preach, and I don't really seek to do it too often, but it is a real privilege to actually be able to talk to you today. I was thinking for quite a few months, and I did actually speak to Keith about this as well, when he said, would you be willing to preach on this particular date a few months ago? I've sensed sometimes, you know, a word keeps coming to you. And I'm sitting in the congregation, I've been listening to the Receive, Practice, Share series on discipleship. And a word that kept coming to me was learning to walk in the storm. And the passage that kept coming to me was actually the one that we have read in Matthew. Also, the actual title I gave to today was Learning to Walk on Troubled Waters, or alternatively, Stormy Waters. And we have to learn, don't we, as Christians? We have to learn how to walk. And how we walk as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as disciples of Christ, is based actually on learning to perceive where God is in the various situations of our lives. And I was sort of thinking today, as I was driving up, and praying, and sort of praying to the Lord, and sort of got up quite early this morning as well to listen. And one of the things that came to me this morning particularly was that we're coming from a variety of weeks, aren't we? Things that have gone on during this week. A variety of experiences that it transcend even this week, and might be things that are our various joys, our various sorrows, our various troubles, or our various challenges that have been going on for quite a while as well. And I was thinking, as I was reflecting on this, real sense of this passage and it being an important word from God, that What is this about, Lord? And it was, yes, learning how to learn to walk better in the midst of all the things of life, because Christ is with us. Christ is with us, but it's learning to perceive Christ in the middle of all the things that we go through, including the storms, including the troubles. And I really believe in the Lord Jesus. I really love the Lord Jesus. I pray I might love him more. I pray I might follow him better. But I can say, and I want to share this today as we consider God's word here, that actually Jenny, who's not here today, my wife Jenny, myself, and even my children, we have walked through some troubled times. But I know I'm not speaking to people here that don't have those common experiences. We all do. And there's nothing particularly special about mine, except the Lord is special to us as he walks with us. And that's true for each of us. Learning to walk on troubled waters. You know, one of the convictions I have is that Jesus is present with us today in his risen power. The Holy Spirit is here. The gospel is Jesus. That is the gospel. Yes, we read about the gospel. We read about our beliefs about the gospel. But Jesus is the gospel. Yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, Luke calls him actually in Acts 16. Verses 6 to 10, it talks about the Spirit of Jesus guiding Paul and his team as they were called to go to Macedonia. The Spirit of Jesus is based on the resurrected Lord who is seated in heaven at the right hand of power. That's what it says. And you know, there's something else that's really important here today that I sense that we need to recognize. Paul says that we in Christ are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. And Paul says to the Colossians, he says, set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things that are below. But you know, there are times, I know it personally, I believe we all do here today, where you face trouble, you face storms, and in facing those, We often set our minds on the things below. We can lose focus. We can be challenged, therefore, to grow and to look for Jesus anew. Because Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The journey's not over. It's not over when we put the badge on and say, I'm now saved. I am now in a saving relationship with Jesus. Actually, it's walking and learning to walk because we're called to keep on going on that journey of self-transcendence, i.e. not focus on ourselves, our situations, our troubles, on the things of this world, but actually to keep looking to Jesus who's ahead and where he is. That is the important thing for us to discern. Now, you know, I love this story. It's something I've preached on quite a number of times over the years. And I think that there is something in this story about learning to, if you like, walk to a different drumbeat. To walk to hear the voice of the one who calls. And you know, in John chapter 10, verses 27 through to 30, the passage in John's gospel where Jesus is the shepherd, he's portrayed as the great shepherd, and he says that those who listen to his voice, who hear his voice, that he gives to them and follow him, he gives to them eternal life. That's what it says. And no one can snatch them out of the Lord's hand. No one. Nothing. Nothing can. And at the heart of my conviction from this passage today is that it is a word of encouragement to us that nothing can snatch us. But at times we can lose focus. At times we can focus on this world and not see the Lord who is in the midst of the things that we go through. And it's not just troubles either, is it? It also can be joys. It can be things that we feel really good about. And sometimes those things that we feel really good about, the most positive things, can actually replace the Lord as well. It's not just the troubled times, but it's every time. And we have to evaluate where the Lord is calling from and listen to his voice. So today it's about learning to walk by hearing the voice and seeing where Christ is in his real presence by his Spirit. You know, I believe in miracle stories in the Bible. I really do. I know some of my colleagues, not at the college where I teach, but some of my theological colleagues, as I teach ministry courses and things like that as part of my ministry, some in some of the universities would somewhat have a wry smile on their face if I say that. But I really believe. I really believe. I believe that only a supernatural God, a God who is beyond our abilities, is the only answer to all of our needs. Yeah, absolutely. But Jesus is the only answer. I remember a number of years ago that one of my American friends bought a book for me by John Stott called The Cross of Christ. And he wrote in the front of it, Andy, remember that Jesus is the only answer. And I believe that. I believe that. And so we think about this story, learning to walk on troubled waters. And one of the things is that this occurs after the feeding of the 5,000. So after the feeding of the 5,000, which happens, we're told, on a hillside, or actually it says in the Greek language, the original language of the Bible, a horos, a mountain, okay, representing Jesus perhaps as a representation of the one who is bigger than Moses, who also came down from the mountain, as it were. Jesus, the Son of God, feeds the crowd. Then he says to his disciples, go over the Lake of Galilee. Go over the Lake of Galilee in the boat, and I will join you at a later time. And then Jesus sends them off. He goes up a mountain to pray, and we're told that it's in the fourth watch of the night that actually Jesus comes walking across the waters. And, you know, the fourth watch, actually, there were four watches, interestingly enough, that the Romans had had implemented within Palestine in that period was between 3 to 6 a.m. 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. So it's pretty dark. It was pretty dark. And another thing that we can say is that the disciples probably had some form of lights on the boat, maybe some sort of lanterns, but they would have been battered around a lot because there was a very strong wind, we're told, from this story. And we're told that there were waves being pushed up because the wind was against them. And somehow, quite how Jesus appeared in that night, but they saw a figure walking across the waters, they think it's a phantasma, it says in the Greek, a ghost. I think it's a ghost. That's what the actual text says. Or a spirit is another way of putting that. And as they look, they are terrified. That is what it says. They are terrified and think that it's a ghost. And particularly in their culture as well, they may have well thought it wasn't a very friendly one. Somehow demonic. But then Jesus calls out and says, "It is I. Be not afraid." It's in the midst of a storm that this is happening. There is wind howling around them. There is water breaking over the boat. Jesus is walking across the water. They're not sure who it is. They cry out for fear. And who are they crying out to in fear too? It's going to be to the Lord. And then Jesus' voice comes back above the storm. Now this is going to be very noisy. You imagine what it's like out in the wind and in a storm. If you've been in strong wind and a storm, it's not quiet. But Jesus' voice somehow comes ringing through. And Jesus says, "It is I. Be not afraid." And actually, in the Greek text behind it, it actually says, "It is I am." It is I am, be not afraid, because that's the word order in the text. I am. You know, it's like meeting God at the burning bush. You know, God's voice rings out, the Son of God's voice rings out above the storm. God is bigger than the storm. And not only is God bigger than the storm in the Son of God as he walks across these stormy waters, these troubled waters, but also waters like the pavement. And the disciples know, you know, there's no way that we could walk on the water like that. You know, it just breaks the laws of physics. We don't naturally get in a boat. And by the way, the boat they're in is about twice the size of a large rowing boat. If you've ever been in a large rowing boat, where about 6 or 8 people can be in it. This boat is about twice the size and it's being tossed around on the water. So it's wooden. There's a sail on there. And the disciples, some of them fishermen, know the sea well. But when they see what they think is a ghost, an evil spirit maybe, they cry out for fear. And Jesus says, "It is I am. Be not afraid." Or, "It is I. I am." And that's an incredible thing. And what does Peter do? I mean, it's just the natural thing that anyone this morning here would do, of course, wouldn't it? You know, you're in the boat. You say, "Okay, I'm going to get out and walk over to Jesus if he calls me." We would naturally do that, wouldn't we? I don't know. I don't think I would necessarily naturally do that. But some of you might. Some of you might. But actually, for Peter, beyond the other disciples, he says, "If it's you, Lord, then bid me to come to you upon the water." And that's what happens. He gets down out of the boat, it says. In other words, he climbs over and sort of drops himself or lowers himself onto the water. And hey, suddenly the water's a bit like a pavement. Turns around and he starts walking over to the figure of Jesus, who he now trusts is Jesus. And as he keeps walking, as long as he is looking at Jesus, as long as he's looking to the Master, the Lord, he walks on something a bit like a pavement. But then he starts seeing everything else going on around him. The waves, the wind. He thinks, "Hey, this isn't normal." I mean, it wouldn't be normal for me necessarily to step out if that was the water now either, really. And he starts to sink. He starts to sink because the storm becomes magnified over against the Lord. Because he's not looking. He's looking everywhere else, but he's not fixed upon the Lord. And you know, here's a principle. It's only as we look to the Lord and then he cries out, Lord, save me. You know, it's going to be even louder than that because there's a big storm going on. It's a real cry of trouble. This is the end if he's not saved. And the Lord reaches out his hand, lifts him up and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then hand in hand, I believe, they walk back to the boat, climb up into it, and the storm dies down. An incredible story. And a story that isn't just, I believe, a literally true story, but also a highly symbolic story for any of us here today, in the sense that we all go through troubles. We all face storms. We all face things that are much bigger than us. And some of us here today have come in here today with those things being big in our lives. And those big things in our lives, at times, get in the way of seeing where the Lord is in the midst of it. But the principle of learning to walk is to listen for the Lord's voice, to look for his presence. And all I can say is that that's not naturally possible for us. It's something that is supernaturally, that is something that only God can do. Because, you know, it's beyond us. And here's the good news. I'm so glad I've got a saviour like that. I'm so glad we've got a saviour like that. Because, you know, I've reached several points in my life, and who knows what comes in the future, where I've realised that I'm at the end of anything I can do. There's been quite a few times where I've really realised that I'm at the end of what I can do. And the only answer is Jesus. One beyond. And that's why the Lord walked on the water that night. That's why the Lord did the miracles he did that others could not do. He did this in order, among other things, to demonstrate to each of us that he is bigger than us. He is the only answer. And that is, I'm absolutely convinced by that. Absolutely convinced by it. I've learnt that the hard way. And I believe each of us are learning that the hard way so often. Because we don't actually preach just a rose-tinted gospel. The gospel is real because Jesus is real. And a real Lord, the God-man, the Son of God, became incarnate among us so that he could meet us in all the real situations of our lives. Not just the good ones. So that is a realistic gospel. The real gospel is a God that really helps us. So I don't know what you brought with you here today. We each know our own journeys. But one of the things I've really felt the Lord be saying to me from this story for a few weeks now is to say, you know, if you're out there at the moment and you're going through a hard time, a time of doubt, a time where illness is striking, where loved ones have died, where children are struggling, where a partner is struggling, where there are struggles at work, struggles at home, struggles with temptation. I believe the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm bigger than those things. Turn to me. Turn to me. And I am the answer, because only God can say that. And God's not on an ego trip either, because he loves us. God actually loves us because he is the answer, and he loves all those that he has made, everyone. He loves his creation. He wants his kingdom to fully come and arrive. And we're part of the kingdom now, the kingdom of grace, by faith. Through grace, the great gift of God. These are big things. Something I'd like to share. Thank you, Barry. That's about, he's noticed. It's about this time my voice gives out. It needs a miracle. Okay. It usually is. Barry was sort of an angel there, a messenger of mercy for me. Yeah. The About 8 years ago, Jenny and I went through a particularly tough time with, and this is something that my son doesn't mind us sharing because it was also something of him, a really hard time. From about 2007 to about 2009, my son was close to the point of death for about 12 to 18 months. He was 16 years old, and he was seriously ill, and I can't disclose what the particular illness was, but it was a serious illness, and the doctors said that at any time, if he didn't actually eat properly and do other things and actually go with the treatment, then he was going to die. That was the language we had, which was a terrible shock to us. You know, you don't think that, do you? You don't think that no one, no parent wants to outlive their child. No parent does. And I can tell you, it was serious. They weren't messing about. They said, if he doesn't respond to the various parts of the treatment that he needs to, and also cooperate with aspects of it, he was going to die. And that was emphasized sometimes for us because he had to go into hospital. And Jenny and I would sit next to his bed prayerfully, but in pretty much desperation. And this was one of our storms. And as we sat next to his bed, we could see the various monitors whizzing up and down. His heart rate was going up and down, you know, 20, 30 beats. He was sitting in the bed, you know, he wasn't moving around, but he was getting weaker and weaker, and his heart was going at different speeds, rhythms. And this happened quite a few times, particularly over the first year. And I can remember there were times where where I or Jenny would be praying. We didn't necessarily tell Tim about this every time, but we said, Lord, you know, this is beyond us. We're desperate now. Will you save? Will you heal him? And that didn't just go away overnight. The storm lasted. You know, storms don't necessarily abate straight away, and it didn't. But the Lord broke through on those moments. I can tell you, absolutely, honestly, you know, those were the moments when suddenly Jesus appeared, and it was like, in a sense, he raised us out of the water and Tim, and there were breakthrough moments. And more of those came as time went on, and he fully recovered, and even graduated from university, and, you know, and other things. But the biggest joy is that we saw Tim recover. You know, that was our biggest joy. You know, I can say as a parent, I said to the Lord, you know, if you take me, Lord, if you take me, you know, I'd love to be around still, but if you take me so you can save Tim, then do it, Lord. That's what I said. You know, and I remember one day I was at a conference, and this was a real moment for us. I was at a conference, and as I was sitting in this conference, listening, it was actually a youth conference, and I remember the speaker speaking and said, we're going to have a time of prayer now. So I was sitting there, and I was praying quietly. There were a few hundred people there. They didn't know what was going on. But when I was sitting in that conference and they called for that time of prayer, I started to hear a voice over the top of it. The voice of God, I believe. It was the Spirit's voice. And I felt it was the Father's heart reaching out to my heart as a father. Jenny wasn't there at the time, but she had some experiences like this too. And I sensed the Father's heart saying, you know how much you love Tim. You know how much you love your children and Jenny. I love them infinitely. And I paid a far greater price through my son, Jesus, through the Son of God. And you know, suddenly I started to understand just how heart-rending the Father's heart must be. Not just for his son, but for each of us. God loves us. Yeah, God loves us. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, a saying there, he says, the Father is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit than we are to ask. Would a good father give a stone for bread or a serpent for a fish? How much more will your heavenly father give you good gifts. And particularly in Luke's gospel, the Holy Spirit. Because you know, it's the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the triune Spirit of God, yes, who is the only answer. So we come today before a God that calls, who is real. He's bigger than us. He's bigger than this place. The Spirit of the Lord is like the wind, said Jesus. You can see what it does. You can even feel its influence on your life. The Holy Spirit's influence on your life. That's where we hear the voice. Through the word and through the Spirit bringing the word to life. And, you know, if the word of God lives in us, if we know the word well, then he keeps on reminding us about his powerful words. You know, another thing that came to me on that day when I sensed the Father's heart speaking to my heart, I was very grateful. I just sensed it was Father God speaking, I'm going to pull him through. I'm going to save him. And at the time, it was pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak. I can tell you, we spent a lot of time weeping, really weeping and pleading with God, because it was beyond us. And that's the sort of God that we follow. And thinking then, as we think about where we might be on our journeys now, I just sense that God wants to say to you, wherever you are in your journey at the moment, wherever you are, whether it feel easier, whether it feel worse or even terrible or devastating, or somewhere in between all of those things, that Jesus is able to save. Jesus is able to raise us from the water that would engulf us, that would destroy us. Because you know, that's real. Looking to the real Lord. And I say, thank you, God. And I think each of us here today in different ways will hear the voice of God speaking to us in the midst of where we are. And then to sense his presence, his power to do the impossible. For with man, everything's basically not possible, really. We might think it is. But Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Including on walking on stormy waters. Here's another thing as well. It's not always the storm. Because Jesus goes back to the boat. He said, okay, there are going to be times when storms come, but then they're going to abate. They're going to get less. And I'll come into the boat and there's going to be peace and we're going to get somewhere safely together. It's not to leave us in trouble. The Lord is to save us to the place of peace, which the ancient prophets called shalom, wholeness. Wholeness of peace, because we put the Lordship in the right place. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the one that has all authority in heaven and earth. He said, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's here with us today. So, wherever you are today, wherever you are in your journey, listen out for the voice. Listen out for what he says through his word. But the word lives because the Spirit lives. The Spirit brings the words of the Lord to life because the words of God are living and sharper, we're told, than a two-edged sword, a very sharp sword. So may each of you today find Jesus in the midst of that. He is there. He is strong. He is all-powerful. And we need to learn to walk every day, not just at one moment, and then forgetting the other. It's walking all of the time and being always on a journey. Jesus said, come follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of people. And that's a journey. Because of the great value and love that he has for us. He also has it for the whole world. We're called to follow. So, let's finish today. Just like to encourage each of you. If any of you feel that God's spoken to you today, Spirit's spoken to you, then at the end, I'm sure you can come and pray with one of the leaders. I also pray for each of you that the Lord will bless you The Lord will strengthen you. I'm sure there's loads of wonderful stories, lots that I'd love to hear of how God has worked in your lives. So, you know, it's not just one of us. Anything I've said about my own journey today is just to say, you know, praise God, praise Jesus. It's not me. I know that. Shall we pray? Father of heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, almighty sovereign Spirit of God, we know that you are the only answer, Jesus. We know that you're the only way. And we commit ourselves to you today, Lord. I just pray that we, each of us, can bring to you those things that are getting in the way at the moment, whether they be temptations, whether they be troubles, whether they be hardships at work or home, whether they be illness, whether it be that we grieve, whether it be any number of things, Lord, that we need your help for. May we bring them to you today, Lord. Enable us to do this, Lord, because we know even that is something that we need your help with. To let go. That's the hardest thing, Lord, to let go and to let God. To realize that human extremity is God's opportunity. To know that when we're actually weak, then we are strong, because there's one that is strong, infinitely strong. We thank you for your love. And just fill us, be with us, encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. Be our help. Be our healer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.